Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Holy Man, a journey of becoming godly men. You know, no matter if we are sons or husbands, dads, grandfathers, or just any regular guy out there, we are going to try to figure out how God would want us to live on this journey called life. None of us have it all figured out. So let's dig into God's Word and wrestle with God's Word as we try to become who God created us to be, specifically, holy men.
Hey there, men, and truthfully, any ladies who are like enjoying listening to our podcast and what we've been pondering, what we've been discussing with this Holy Man podcast. Hopefully we've all been having a great time with God as we ponder and pray over and discuss and truthfully be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to change our lives some in the areas or these topics that we've been hitting. It was kind of funny how one of you who listened, who have been listening to these, told me after the first podcast, you had a moment in your car. That was the one that we talked about, you know, our driving situations. And you told me right after you listened to the podcast, you had one of those moments with one of those idiots out on the road. And you told me how actually, because you were thinking about it, you handled that situation differently than what you would have before. And because of it, well, you had a much better day. Well, praise God for that moment in time and how God helped you live better. I have a fun topic today, and truthfully, I'm kind of saying that tongue-in-cheek, because for some of you, this might not be a fun topic. What is it? Well, let's talk politics. Oh, crap, you might be saying, where is this going? And yeah, I agree. I truthfully have been struggling with this one for several weeks. Should I or shouldn't I? And I have decided we should, because all parts of life are part of our Christian walk. And if we are desiring to be holy men, then even in how we deal with politics should be part of this conversation. So how does this fit into our theme that we've been doing these first several weeks of the podcast? Again, just to remind us, we're looking at the theme of not being able to control the world around us, the people around us, and truthfully, we can't even control ourselves. But can we influence the world around us, the people around us, and yes, even ourselves, by allowing the Holy Spirit of God to change us and then live through us as holy men? And then, more specific to our topic today in the area of politics, can the Holy Spirit influence our thoughts and ideas in politics and also influence others by how we interact with them? And yes, I do think it's possible. As a matter of fact, I think it's very possible. Now, the good news for all of you out there is that you won't be just hearing from me today, but instead, I have a guest with me this week to help us think through this challenging topic. I have Mike Wilson, our lead pastor here at New Life.
Howdy.
Mike, it is good to have you with us today. Mike, you and I have had many conversations over the last couple years on politics, and it's pretty amazing how close we are on most subjects within politics. We don't see perfectly eye to eye on everything, but we are close. But Mike, one of the things that just amazes both of us is how perfectly split down the middle our country is on political issues. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't think it's surprising if you look at the reality of the world. I mean, even the church, we're split down the middle right now. About half of our country goes to church and half of our country doesn't go to church. And I think the reality is we're split down the middle because we kind of move the middle to reflect the number of people on both sides. And I think that when it comes to politics, you can really divide the two halves, the middle of our country, based on two major worldviews. And I think both of those worldviews are centered on the idea of fairness. And we are split as a country on what we think is fair. It is one half of the country says fairness means that we should all have about the same amount of stuff. And usually the people that have that idea tend to go a little bit more toward a socialism idea. And then there's another half of our country who would say, no, fairness is more about fairness of opportunity, that mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if we have the same amount of stuff, but more if we have the same opportunity to go after that stuff. And as Christians, we would kind of see a little bit of biblical truth in both of those different sides, but at the same time, we'd say neither of them are biblical at all, because fairness, it has very little to do with what we believe. Our worldview is not a worldview of fairness. In fact, both of those two ideologies are very materialistic. And so as Christians, we actually say, no, let's run the opposite direction, because our goal is not independence. Our goal is dependence on God. Our goal is not fairness. It's grace. Grace is, the beauty of grace is that it makes life not fair. And so for us, we don't pick a side. We don't say, I'm with this group who says this is fair, or I'm with this group who says this is fair. Instead, we say, I'm with God, and whenever people are working their way toward Him, I'm with them in that journey. Because so often in our choosing of sides, what happens is we actually just end up cheering for our team. And if you're a Republican, then you cheer for the Republicans. You hope the Republicans win. And when the Republicans have an idea, you kind of just naturally tend toward that idea. Same thing if you're a Democrat, you cheer for your team. And what usually happens when we cheer for our team? Usually we get very partisan. Usually we'll say negative things about the other team. And that is what kind of creates the divisiveness. It's more competition now than it is each person weighing out each conversation to determine what we believe. And those worldviews kind of put us in the two categories. But I don't necessarily think that it's a good idea to just always agree with one side as if we are just bound to that side.
And it's amazing, you know, you see those, if we look at just the last couple of elections, how truthfully we jump on those sides and we kind of stay there. Just in the 2020 election, 155 million votes and 6 billion votes separated the popular vote. And if you jump back to 2012 election, 3 million votes was the difference of the popular vote. Hillary won the popular vote, Donald Trump won the electoral, but only 3 million votes was the difference.
That's tight.
That's so tight when you're talking 150 million votes. It is so tight. The biggest difference was back in 2004. There was 10 million votes that separated Obama and McCain out of 130 million votes. And even that, that's still tight. So, you know, truthfully, Mike, we both know people who we would consider good Christians who are strong Republicans. And we also know some who are strong Democrats. I remember several years ago, I worked alongside of a pastor, and it was so much fun to hear his conversation, because his wife was drastically opposite than him. He was what we would call a strong conservative Republican, and she was a very liberal Democrat. And I was amazed how both of them, strong Christians, could see things politically so different. So with that being said and understood, Mike, I have a question for you then. Mike, does your politics influence your faith, or does your faith influence your politics? And on top of that, do you have a process for that to happen?
Yeah, I think that is the question. If you're a Christian, that has to be the primary question. Is my politics influencing my faith and the way that I interact with the world, or is it the other way around? For me, politics is not as much about picking a side as it is about picking an issue. What issue is most important? What issue affects my faith? And if I'm just picking sides because that's what the news media and politicians tell me that I should do so that they can get votes, then I'm probably not being led by my faith. I'm probably being led by politicians and by the news media. And I don't think that's healthy. And as a Christian, I actually think there is definitely a hierarchy of issues. Not all issues are created equal. I can have an opinion on an issue, but I'm not driven by every issue equally. And if an issue influences my faith, influences the way I worship, influences the way I interact with people, then I'll get involved in that issue. But if it's an issue that just determines how much money I have in my pocket as a Christian, that can't be my primary objective.
That's huge. Well, do you have any scripture? I mean, if you're talking your faith leading into your politics, then of course, hopefully most Christians will go to the Word of God to help guide that conversation. So for do you personally have any scripture that helps to guide you in that process?
Yeah, I think we quote a lot, Colossians 3:2. Think about things of heaven, not things of earth. Set your eyes on things above. And so even in political issues and in everything that we do in life, we're constantly reminding ourselves, how does this issue affect eternity? And if all it's affecting is my pocketbook, it's probably not that important in eternity.
And I think for me, Mike, that's one of the things that I try to look at the totality of Scripture, not just picking out certain verses that influence my politic, but instead I look at the totality of Scripture and how each verse fits into the big picture of God as I'm looking at each issue, like you said. I know one of the things for me that I love to do as part of the process of figuring out my politics is to be in great conversations with other people. And in those conversations, I love to make people think through the why of their stance on a subject or an issue. You know, Karen laughs at me sometimes at how I might place myself on the opposite side of an issue than what I believe to be true, just so I can get someone to think through the why. Me hearing others work through their why, truthfully, will help me then think through what I believe to be true as well. And that's why 1 Peter 3:15, we say this sometimes when we're talking about reaching out to non-Christians, but it says this: instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if someone asks you for your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. Now, usually, again, that text is usually for how we're sharing our faith, but it's completely applicable here. Be prepared to share the why. Be ready to explain how your faith in Christ plays out on the political issue that we are talking about, discussing, trying to figure out how should I vote on this issue. To be ready to explain to someone else, we need to know God's heart through His Word. And sometimes it takes some research and study of God's Word. And that allows our faith then to influence our politics. Now, Mike, I'm going to switch gears a little bit here from the influence of how, you know, we allow our faith to share what we believe in politics to, can we influence others and their ideas on the issue? So again, we can't control what others believe on political issues. We can't make them vote our way, but can we as a Christian have an influence in the lives of others, even in their area of politics? So Mike, as divisive as politics can be, is it even possible to do this? And if so, what are some of the ideas that you have about how this can happen?
I sure hope so. If not, then we're going to be struggling here in the future. No, my hope is that I become less predictable when it comes to politics.
Do you mean by that?
I think a lot of times as people who are Republican or people who are Democrat, I assume if you're a Republican, I already know where you stand on all the issues. I don't even need to have a conversation with you. And it just shuts down conversation. And I think if I can become less predictable in how I take stances on different issues, then we can actually have a conversation. I'm not just assuming what you think. And so I try really hard not to tip my hand on most issues. And I think that's largely because I think Christians should more often serve as moderators in conversations rather than opinion givers in conversations. If you look at, there's a passage in Scripture where somebody comes to Jesus and says, what do we do with our taxes? Jesus says, give to Caesar. And Jesus in this moment is serving as a moderator in the conversation. He's not necessarily picking a side on politics. He's just kind of showing how we as Christians, as Christ followers, should interact in the political world. Should we pay taxes? Should we not pay taxes? And I think we should find ourselves more often in a place where we're not just a partisan side picker, but we are a moderator between two differing positions.
Well, Mike, if you look back to that passage that I mentioned out of 1 Peter, it says in there that as we share a reason for the hope, or we talk through, as you just said, moderating a conversation, Peter says in there that we need to do this in a gentle and respectful way. How do you think that plays into having those great conversations?
Gentle and respect. I don't know that either of those words could ever describe any of our 24/7 news media. And most news media now is totally focused on politics, and there is an angry tone that is just understood right now in politics that I think has to be removed. We have to get to the place where we can have a cordial conversation before we're ever going to try to get to the place where we can lower the temperature in the political
scene.
And
wouldn't you agree that as we watch the presidential debates, that's the same situation there, that they're not coming in wanting to have a conversation.
Yeah.
They're just wanting to say, they're saying what their truth is, but they're not willing to listen to the other side to say, maybe I'm not as right as I am. How can we grow as a country if we're not willing to respect each other and be gentle and have a great conversation?
Yeah.
You know, if I jump back into a little bit more of the First Peter passage, something that it guides me when I'm having conversations, in the beginning of that passage, 1 Peter 3, it says in verse 8, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind." That's hard to do. So he says, "Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tenderhearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing." Mike, can you imagine if that passage of scripture led into conversations on politics, how it would change things up a bit?
Yeah, and this whole all Republicans always vote this way and all Democrats always vote this way. If you could get Democrats and Republicans to figure out issue by issue, what can we agree on and what can we have a conversation about? Yeah, it would change everything.
All right, Mike, I want to finish up our conversation here a bit with a fun opportunity for you. First, Mike, what are the two greatest commandments?
Love God, love people, Matthew 22.
All right, very simple. So we're going to try to apply that now. Let me ask you, Mike, do you love President Joe Biden and our Vice President Kamala Harris?
This is when most people assume we are going to say, "Let's go, Brandon."
That is certainly applicable to our present context, yes.
No, absolutely. In fact, I take it even farther than that. I follow them. I submit to them. I honor them. Scripture, Paul, all throughout the New Testament is telling us that we should honor those in authority, even if we don't agree with them.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing. We might not like some of their issues, some of their policies, but yet I love how you say that the love, the respect, the gentleness that comes into all of that. So if you were given an opportunity to sit in a room with the two of them and you were going to discuss your thoughts or the whole issue, pro-life versus pro-abortion, and if anybody doesn't know where you stand, you certainly are a pro-life-minded person, and we know that they are not. So how would that go for you? How could you or would you lead through that conversation?
Oh, dang, you went there.
Well,
I think this one's very hard for me because I choose not to take a stance on most issues so that I can take a very strong stance on this one. I am passionately, extravagantly pro-life. I think it's very difficult to believe in a God who knits everyone together in their mother's womb and not be pro-life from conception. So I take very few stances so that I can. Now, if it comes down to convincing somebody of something that I believe they are wrong on and I'm right on, the odds are I'm probably not going to argue them into the correct idea. But what I'm not going to change their mind on abortion, but I might change their mind on me. I might change their opinion of me. And so the first big step in sitting down for a conversation is to build a relationship of some kind, because you're not going to change somebody's mind who has firmly held beliefs by arguing with them. You're going to do it by building a relationship with them. And I'll be totally honest with you. I think that as a Christian, I've got a heavy burden when it comes to that conversation, because I think we have earned the reputation that we have. I grew up holding the signs on the side of the road and screaming at abortion clinics and doing all those things and addressing the conversation in ways that I don't think were very healthy. And I've I've been down that road, and I think we earned some of the angry rhetoric, the angry reputation that we have. And so large part of changing a mind is to maybe change the idea of what people have of us. Before we end, I think it'd be important for us to talk about how we treat people beyond just having a conversation. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. And I think that really sums up. If we're supposed to love our enemies, and political parties are definitely not our enemies, but sometimes we think of them as our enemies. And if they are, then love is a no-brainer. And if they're less than our enemies, then obviously love is a no-brainer. Then he says that we should pray for people who persecute us. We're not persecuted in America. Sometimes we like to say that we are, but that really dumbs down the word. But even if we were, we should pray for those who persecute us, not just to change the people who are persecuting us, not just to change the circumstances that we're in, but to change us, because prayer changes us, and it puts us in a posture to be able to have a conversation and to love people that are not easy to love.
Well, you think, Mike, if you went into that conversation with the president and the vice president, knowing the topic, knowing how your heart is so passionate on the subject, how, if you legitimately, lovingly prayed for those two individuals and for your heart to pray that God would bless your heart to be able to have that conversation, tell me, how important is prayer to those conversations in being able to lead into that?
Because I do not believe for a moment that I'm going to be able to convince them without the Holy Spirit. If I believe that the Holy Spirit is on my side in this conversation, if he is not doing the work, if I'm not following behind him, that's what I think prayer does, is it puts us in a posture that we are following him rather than trying to lead him. And he's there in the future calling us toward him. If we believe that we're on his mission, he is there in the future calling us toward him. Prayer brings us into a posture and brings us into communion with him, and so that we are cooperating with him, with his effort to change hearts, because the only way to change minds is to start by changing a heart.
And for me, Mike, I know that I'm agreeing with you on the pro-life where we are in that. But for me, even in that conversation, even though I believe that we are both right on that based on scripture, I still am regularly praying, God, if there's something in me that is not right, help me to see the truth. Help me to see beyond where I am. And I don't ever want to get stuck in believing that I am 100% right, because I am not God. I'm not Christ. And so if I need to be changed, Holy Spirit of God, here I am. Melt me, mold me, fill me so you can use me to continue this conversation.
When it comes to the fairness debate and the two worldviews we talked about earlier, we talk a lot about, I mean, one of the primary directives of Scripture is helping the least of these, helping people who cannot help themselves. That's why I'm passionately pro-life, standing up for those who cannot stand for themselves. And in the debate of what's fair, what isn't fair, how do we help poor people, how don't we help poor people, what's actually harmful in the long run, this is a debate that I think would be a very helpful debate if we could get past the angry rhetoric and actually decide what actually would help the poor, what actually would help the least of these. And I think as Christians, we've been called to humble ourselves enough to have a good conversation to how to do that.
Love it, Mike. You shared a lot of great thoughts here. And hopefully for all you men out there, as you have some conversations maybe in your life groups now, hopefully this will help guide and lead you and help you to step back, be willing to step back from your politics and instead maybe start praying about it. Maybe start digging into your scripture and answering the why. Why do I, on each of the issues that are out there, why do I believe what I believe to be true? And ask maybe the Holy Spirit to make sure it's right. And also, I just pray for all of our conversations that we can find ourselves loving each other through those conversations. It's how we're going to get to a better place. Guys, I love being with you. Mike, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And guys, I'm hoping we're all on this journey of becoming more and more of a holy man. Have a great week.